Well, we do love the rain, don't we? It's not much that we get here, but it's a blessing when it comes, showers of blessings, and I'm thankful. Well, I thank those who prayed for the wedding yesterday. It went well. It seemed like a lot of rain yesterday morning and such, but it held off for the wedding, and it was a good crowd at the wedding, and I was able to preach the gospel. That's what I was happy about. And it just turned out good. So we even had a family that's been visiting here, the Robbins family. They were there, and so got to shake their hand and see them. But we're thankful the Lord got me through this, through that time, and hopefully it was a blessing to all. So, all right, take your Bible and go to John chapter 3, and we're doing the ABCs of Christian growth. They do get more difficult and more deep and more meat, if you will, in the days ahead. But if you have John 3 and you're able to stand, we're going to look at the first 8 verses. Of course, the story of Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's true, isn't it? Only Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, the word verily means truly. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Of course, the answer is what? No. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Let's pray together and ask God's help. Father, today we are thankful to be in your house on your day. We're thankful for the powerful Word of God. Lord, I have nothing to say, but Lord, you have everything to say. And you're able, Lord, so able to help us and teach us and exhort us. And Lord, so I'm very thankful for the rain you gave us and Lord, for those here today to hear your Word. Help us as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, things that God expects. I think it's good for a pastor to challenge his flock, his people, to stay in the Word of God, don't you? You ought to stay in it just not on Sunday and on Wednesday night, but you ought to stay in the Word of God every single day. Amen. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. And so, daily, walking with God, daily in the Word of God. Have you been doing this? I think I need to kind of challenge you or, you know, keep that in the forefront. Have you been in your Bible every single day this week? Now, you don't have to raise your hand or tell me. But if you're not, you're missing it. And you're not being fed. You're not putting God first in your walk. Now, I can't tell you exactly when in the day that would be best for you. We do have some night owls. How many of you are night owls? Raise your hand. There's one yonder. How many of you are early birds? Early bird gets the word. Amen. So, but maybe for you, you're more alert and it's more quiet and you're not struggling with the work situation and it's better at night. I'm not sure. But I'm hoping and I'm really... as your pastor, expecting you to be in the Word of God every day. And there's another one is prayer, right? Prayer. You really not just like 2 or 3 minutes in the morning or 2 or 3 minutes at night, but how about going through the day walking with Jesus? Paul said, pray without ceasing, did he not? In everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, because we can't make it without prayer. I think maybe before you even get in the car and start driving, Lord, give me safety on the roads. And I'll go ahead and thank you now. Because at the end of the day, we didn't have a bad wreck. I talked to a woman this week, and she had a wreck. And she don't even remember the wreck. Truck hit her, broke her wrist and bones, and I think her husband broke 4 ribs. Sue knows the lady. And she was in the hospital 6 weeks and then rehab for 6 weeks. That's a long time. And she said the hospital that she went to, I don't know if I ought to warn her people or not, Sue, Boswell, they never gave her an orthopedic doctor, or orthopedic surgeon. And so her bone grew back and her hands kind of deformed and her fingers and such. And now they say, well, we can fix it now, but we have to go back in there and break everything and rods and plates and all of that. We need to pray for God's safety and pray in thanksgiving for what He helps us through. Listening to the radio this morning, coming to church, and it's a warning, flood warning, warning, Maricopa County. Most deaths when it floods, because the ground is saturated and it can't absorb all that water, happen in their car when they go through a wash or something. That's most deaths when it floods. I said, honey, I'll save you. I told her. My wife doesn't swim. You don't swim either, Christine?
No, I do.
That's right. She doesn't swim. I was from Florida, so I swam a lot in the ocean. But let's just stop right there. Okay, if it says, do not go through this wash, or don't go through it, you know, that's where the helicopters come, Larry. And you're on the evening news because you went through the wash. You thought your car was tall enough to get through it. Just turn around. Amen. But are you in the Word of God? Are you in prayer? And I think when we come to the house of God, listen, we ought to not only ask God to speak to us from the Bible, but in our daily walk, we need to carefully, prayerfully, and expectantly open the Word of God and say, Lord, teach me. Teach me something new today. Help me. And you know what? You never get too old for that. You just should always say, Lord, help me to see your word today. Help me to see Jesus in this passage, because Jesus is from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22. I mean, it's all there. And the beautiful redemption cord, the bloodline goes all the way through the Bible, and Jesus is seen throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. So what does God expect? Well, his name means innocent blood, Nicodemus. And he was an elderly Pharisee. They say the people who were members of the Sanhedrin, I was taught that they are married and that they were pretty wealthy. And Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin, so was he married? Probably so. What happened to his wife? I don't know. You can ask him when you get to heaven, okay? But here's Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. But he had saw the miracles of Jesus. He had saw the changed lives. And by the way, he received Jesus Christ. He was born again. Amen? Can you imagine seeing, Brother Jay, the Lord Jesus, the fulfillment of prophecy, the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 standing right in front of you? I mean, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords standing there telling you, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you know, you must be born again. So here's Nicodemus. And over in the end of the scripture, John, there you see where Nicodemus was at the foot of the cross. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea begged the body of Jesus, and They bought 100-pound weight of ointment and the spices, and they anointed the body of Jesus. So there's very much evidence and proof that Nicodemus truly trusted Jesus as his Savior. So some things to see here this morning. What does God expect from us? Well, number one, in verse 5 and 6, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, when a baby's in the mama, they're in that water, you know, the physical birth, right? Or the flesh birth. Now, it talks about another birth. What is the other birth it talks about here? Not flesh, but what?
Spirit.
Exactly. Spirit. And he says in verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is what?
Flesh.
And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So another term for being a Christian, becoming a Christian, or being saved, that's another term, means the same thing, is a two-word part there, and it's in these verses. So what does becoming a Christian mean? To become what? Born again. Born again. Born of the Spirit. And so when you're born, they say, you know, that going to hell and dying without Christ, you're dying in your sins and you're condemned already, and that's Scripture, that's Bible. But when you go to hell, it's the second what? Death. Second death. Okay. So if you have one birth, a physical birth, you will have two deaths. Two deaths. You'll have this, you'll experience the second death, and death in hell is what the Bible says. But if you have two births, amen, you have a fleshly birth and a spiritual birth. In other words, you get saved, you become a Christian, you're born again, you only have one death, right? One death. You don't have to go through that punishment because you're saved. And you're saved from above. Amen. Born of the Spirit. So we need, the Lord tells us to be born again. You know, a lot of times people say, you say, are you a Christian? You're witnessing to somebody or you meet somebody. Are you a Christian? They say, yes, I'm a Christian. But they don't really know what Bible Christianity is, do they? They think maybe their religion has something to do with it. Or have you heard this statement, Brother Victor? I've been a Christian all my life. Well, not really. You may be born into a religious family, but that doesn't mean you're saved. That doesn't mean you have the two births. You say, well, so-and-so is good, and he goes to every single Mass when the church is open, or he goes to church. By the way, just because you go to a certain denomination or certain church doesn't mean you're saved, doesn't mean you're born again. Hey, and just because you call yourself a Baptist doesn't mean you're saved and born again. You need Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so are you one? They call them out in the on the West Coast. They call in the Washington area and the Oregon area, they call them Baptist briders. There's a few people that believe only Baptists will be in heaven. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. Because if you've sincerely received Jesus as your Savior, I don't care if you've been in a Presbyterian church or Methodist church or whatever church, Assembly of God, you know, Nazarene, they teach it a little different, don't they? They can lose their salvation. But if you've truly been, here it is, born again from above, you've trusted Christ as your Savior and asked Him, you've repented. Amen. That's the old time message. Lord, forgive me. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. And you turn and you say, Jesus Christ, I believe in you and you're the only way. Then, hey, you can go to heaven. Amen. No matter what you call yourself, but you need to be born again by the Spirit. Something else God expects. After Well, when you're first born again, go to 1 Peter 2. When you're first born again, it tells us here what we are. Larry, sometimes you talk about your children when they were born, you know, when they were birthed into this world and certain characteristics about them and such as that. And it's precious when you see a newborn baby. Some of you daddies walked up to that window and said, "That's mine. That's mine." Don't get them mixed up now. You know, you don't want somebody else grabbing your baby. But in 1 Peter 2:2, let's see you, Cisco. Let's see what the Bible says. As newborn what?
Babes.
When you're born again, you're a babe. You're a newborn babe. Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, the babies, what do they want to do? Normally they just want to eat, don't they? They want to eat all the time, and that's good. That they eat, and the sincere milk of the word. But something God expects, He doesn't want us to stay babies. Amen? 2 Peter 3. Let's look at this. 2 Peter 3. What does God expect? Expects us to be born again from above. And 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, please. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? 3:18, 2 Peter. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. If you're born again, you'll go to heaven, just like that thief on the cross. Now, he didn't have much time to grow, did he? But he was in the presence of Almighty God. And Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, He said, "Remember me." He knew it was real too. So He knew that the Savior was the miracle worker. He said, "We're supposed to be up here. Remember how they talked back and forth, those two thieves? We're guilty, but this one's not. I find no fault in him." But what does the Lord expect? He expects us to grow. You cannot do much as a baby, spiritual baby. But He wants us to grow in what? He wants us to grow in grace, that favor and that goodness of the Lord. He wants us to grow up. How can you grow? Now help me out. What are some of the best ways to grow? And I'm trying to help you now. After you're born again, help me out. What are some of the best ways to grow? There it is, AJ. AJ held it up. He beat you, Christine. This right here. It'll change your life, won't it? It's the best food. It's the ribeye. It's the meat, it's the milk, it's everything. Okay, Christine, did he take yours?
Yeah, read the Bible and pray.
Pray's another one, right? Communication with God and let Him speak to you. I tell you what, when I did that wedding yesterday, I was praying, man. You got those people looking at you, and they're not normally, at sometimes weddings, they're not Christian folks, friendly folks that know the Lord, and you know, there's a rough crowd there, and they may already be under the influence. It's not the Holy Spirit's influence, you know what I'm saying? And so it's a rough crowd, but I was seeking prayer. I appreciate your prayers, Justin. He prayed for me, and others here prayed for me. And now you pray for me because, you know, weddings, thank God, it's a joyous occasion, amen, when you got married. I just kept looking at my wife, you know. I said, "I'm thankful for that day." We had, every time we do a wedding, we reminisce over our wedding. And, of course, our wedding, and I'm not just saying this, okay. I'm just going to say it right now. Our wedding was the most beautiful wedding I've ever been in. And it really was. I mean, it was just great. But, man, you need prayer. You need prayer when you go in. To a place like that, and it's just all kinds of distractions and things. I've said it to you folks, and you've heard me say it many times. I'd rather do a funeral, Brother Jackson, than a wedding, because there's too much that can go wrong at weddings. You know, I encourage you, if you're getting ready to get married, hey, make it simple. Keep it simplified, Brother Jay. I mean, so chandeliers don't catch on fire, candles, and people trip. Hey, people pass out at weddings and all sorts of things. But I was praying through that. It went smooth. It really did. And I was able to give the gospel. But we need to pray. Another way to grow. What is it?
Spread the word.
Yes. Hey, by the way, we got some more gospel tracts ready for pickup. Are you 100% sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? And we got tracts coming, so that's a blessing. But keep them in your pocket. Oh, and I'll tell you what. We went to In-N-Out Burger yesterday. That's our Saturday tradition, okay? In-N-Out Burger. It's a good place to pass out these little guys right here. And it does have our church address in the back. But I gave one to... And the parents, they love it when you give it to their little toddlers or little babies. I mean, take them and give them. Here's something for you, little guy. And I mean, he enjoyed this track. He was just smiling and reading it. And his dad was getting happy. And then he started chewing on it. But pass them out wherever you go. And you never know. When you get to heaven, there has been actual testimonies, hasn't there, of people picking up a track from the road or on their car, and they read it and they get saved, and you'll see them in heaven one day. I appreciate so much the bride and the groom. Of course, they wanted me yesterday to present the gospel. In fact, I won't do a wedding or a funeral if they won't let me give the gospel. And it doesn't take a lot of time, you know. I think the message yesterday was about 4 minutes. But you can get Jesus in 4 minutes, let me tell you. You can tell people about Jesus. You can tell people about heaven. And the way I started it yesterday, I said, you know, weddings are made in heaven. Marriage is made in heaven. But how can you have a wedding made in heaven if you're not going to heaven? And I said, these two are going to heaven. I'd like to tell you folks how you can go to heaven through Jesus. And then after the ceremony, the bride thanked me, and she said this. She said, I'm looking forward to seeing who might have got saved and who might be in heaven because of Jesus. And so she even testified about Jesus. It was beautiful in that. So, yes, best ways to grow. You mentioned prayer. You mentioned the Bible. You mentioned witnessing. Is there some way else you can grow? Okay, Brother Jay. Oh, I had it in my notes right there. Yeah, the right church is so important. There are some wrong ones that don't stick with the word, don't preach the doctrine, don't preach Jesus. And so absolutely, we're privileged to go to church, aren't we, folks? And we have a friendly church. We have a faithful church. And it's a blessing. It really is a church that knows Jesus, a church that wants to serve the Lord, a church that has a missionary outreach, and I'm so thankful for that. Give me another one. There's a couple more you can think of, how you can grow in grace. Somebody else. Okay. Who?
Get up under the preaching.
Get up under the preaching. Amen. We need preaching, don't we? We need, yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit in church, because John the Baptist was a preacher. And he proclaimed, and so we need that, and it's a good thing. Despise not what? Prophesying. Not, despise not preaching, because preaching is necessary. Preaching is good. Preaching works. I'm thankful that we can hear the preaching of the Word of God. And we can serve. We can serve the Lord. That's another way to grow. Do something. Do something, folks. For Jesus, do something to serve the Lord in your church. And these are great ways. And then I got just one more, and that is faithful. Be faithful to God, because the Bible says, moreover, brethren, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Wasn't Jesus faithful to us?
Amen.
Amen. He sure was. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. We did a whole Sunday school lesson on this. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. But this goes along with the lesson today. What does the Lord call a Christian who doesn't grow spiritually? 1 Corinthians 3. And I want to read verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with what?
Milk.
And not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet what?
Carnal.
For whereas there is among you envy and strife, these are the evidences of carnality, strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? Carnal. What is carnal? Carnality. It is that pertaining to the flesh, sensual, opposed to being spiritual, the natural state of the lost person. So it's the natural man, isn't it? What is a person, that doesn't have Christ? He's deceived. He's blinded. He's not a discerner of those things that are spiritual. So there's carnality there. And what else is part of carnality? Envy, jealousy, strife, divisions. And Paul says, are ye not carnal and walk as men? They were fighting over Apollos and Paul and this and that people. Verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase, folks? That's right, God gave the increase, except the Lord build the church. We labor in vain that build it. And by the way, the Lord's the one that adds to the church, amen? So, the Lord calls a Christian who doesn't grow spiritually carnal. Now, go to Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Back up a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4. What does the Lord want us to grow into? What does He expect us to grow into? Ephesians 4, and we're going to pick it up in verse 13. Till we all come in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now that word perfect is not dealing with perfection, it's sinless perfection. It's talking about maturity. A perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There's a lot of religions out there and denominations. I can quote two of them right now that's just off the top of my head, and that's Catholicism and Mormonism. They have changed over the years their doctrine. They once believed this, but they don't believe it anymore. And so they're blown about by every wind of doctrine. Now, I'd like you to read that slow to yourself, verse 13 through 15. And I'm going to be quiet just for a moment. And I want you to tell me in your own words, maybe a sentence or a statement, and tell me in your own words what God is telling you here, 13 through 15. Into what does the Lord want His children to grow into? 13 through 15. Somebody? Go ahead.
I will.
Oh, you scratching your nose, Brother Jackson.
No, that's okay.
What does God want us to grow into?
He wants us to grow into maturity.
That's it.
Whether we know exactly where we stand, therefore we won't be tossed around with every wind of doctrine that come along. And such as one example of it is, I know a man down south that's in my hometown. At that time, I was a Methodist, and Methodists believed in three types of baptism, pouring, sprinkling, and immersion. Baptists only believe in one.
Immersion.
He was baptized in the Methodist church, and they say, look, I need to be baptized by a doctor, by a Baptist. He moved over to the Baptist church, and he got baptized over there. Then they told him, say, you need to be baptized by a Baptist preacher. And he wasn't baptized again. And he wasn't satisfied with that. They come somebody else, come along with another doctor, and he wouldn't be baptized again.
Okay.
And somebody else, he was going from back and forth, being tossed around with every wind.
Yes.
Doctrine, that wind doctrine is doctrine that has no foundation.
Mm.
It's just something, it's in the wind. And that's what Christ was talking about.
I agree. And the plumber who put this baptistry in here, he was a good man, hardworking man, honest man. And I believe he's saved. But he was putting this baptistry in, and he said, do you believe when you baptize, that you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I said, yeah, that's what the Scripture says. He said, oh, no. He said, you have to, and there's another scripture he took out of context. It's only baptized in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I said, but the Bible says, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're one, by the way. That's baptizing them. Well, let's read it. Go over to Matthew.
Amen.
Last chapter of Matthew.
Last chapter.
Yeah.
That's
28:19. All authority, by the way, was given to Jesus. All power, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he says in verse 19, amen. It's a blessing. Let's see what the Lord said. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of what? And the Son, of the Son. Okay, and that's what we do. We baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But he said, oh no, you're in trouble with God. You only baptize in the name of Jesus. I said, well, let's go ahead and get the baptistry in, you know. Let's get it done. I didn't argue with him. But, you know, people are blown about, aren't they? Somebody else, that passage in Ephesians 4, what did it speak to your heart? Brother Larry. Amen. Amen right there.
That suggests not an individual,
uh-huh,
but a group.
Exactly.
Just a church. So we're not to just be growing in maturity by ourselves.
Uh-huh.
We're not an island. We're supposed to be growing as a group.
Absolutely.
As a church, encouraging each other.
Yes.
To grow together in the church.
I love it. And bringing them along, huh? Come alongside of them, bring them up. Anybody else, in your own words, want to give something on this Ephesians 4, 13 through 15? I like the illustration about a thermostat, because you set the thermostat at our house. I don't know what it is at your house, apartment or whatever, but we set ours on 77 during the day. But at night, I like it a little cooler, so we'll knock it down to 76. But, you know, when you set the thermostat, whatever it is, it maintains that temperature. And we're not to be blown about. I mean, we're to be mature. And we need to be in unity one with another, absolutely. And we need to grow in the Lord. That's what he's saying here, to mature. I think one of you said that. So no more children tossed to and fro, and to be perfected. For the in fact, verse 12 goes along, Larry, with what you were saying, for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that's good. Now let's go to one more verse here, which I like, because when you're mature and perfected, not to say you're perfect, not sinless perfection, but you won't fall. 2 Peter. You won't fall. I'd like to give a message on this. Some days I love this passage of Scripture. It challenges me. This verse convicts me. Helps me to see that, hey, we're always growing. We're ever growing. 2 Peter chapter 1. You remember David Combs, Tiffany, preached a series on that? Well, he's coming back, Lord willing, in our missions conference. but this is some meat here. This is after you're saved. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verses 1 through 10. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, to be an apostle, you had to see the resurrected Lord, right? All these preachers get on television and they say, I'm apostle so-and-so. No, you're not. You didn't see Jesus come out of the grave. But in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, obtained like precious faith with those through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Give me a couple promises before we go on through that. What are some of God's promises to His children? Give me a couple. Are you thankful for His promises? Okay. What's that? Philippians 4:19. Yes. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody else? God's promised us something? Yes, sir. Whew, that's a big one. I'm thankful for that because this world is changing, isn't it? Hey, your team will lose. Your president might not be the president that you want next term or whatever. By the way, I heard that the military are getting paid. Is that correct? I heard it on the news. Thank God the military are going to get paid. The president said they're going to get paid. So it may not be much to you, but if you're military, you're thankful right now. Amen. Yes, other things. But what are some other promises that God gives us? I know you're thinking. Yes, sir.
He promised us everlasting life.
That's a big one. That's the biggest one. Because without Him, you're going to die in your sins, right? Somebody else? Brother John Manise, I know you got something on your heart. Not yet. Not today. Okay. Somebody else, you got a promise from the Lord that you know He's going to give you? Some promise? Hey, yes. That's a promise, isn't it? We don't know when that age is. I just don't know. But yeah, he's good, isn't he? God is good. What about a mansion? He's prepared. I've got a mansion over there. Okay, let's read on. This is the passage I wanted you to get to. Precious promises in verse 4, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So it starts with salvation, faith, then to virtue, this righteousness, this cleansing, if you will, and to virtue, knowledge. We talked about that, Brother John, in the prayer time this morning. And that comes from God. And knowledge, temperance. You see the succession. You see it. And knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience. Maybe you've got salvation, but you're not too patient right now, but you see you're growing and growing in grace. And then patience, godliness. So you're not there yet. And to godliness, what? And to brotherly kindness, what? If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Ye shall never fall. So we are to continue to grow, and I believe the Lord expects us to grow. And if you go over just a page to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we'll read this again. Let's read it out loud together. And let's stand together if you're able. We're going to close in prayer. 3:18. Ready? Here we go. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. If you're a brand new Christian, I went out here when we had grass, Larry, I don't know if you remember that. We had grass out here, and there's a man helping me on a sprinkler system, and we were down on our knees in the trench, and he hit his thumb with a hammer. And out came cursings and profanity. You know what? He was a brand new Christian, Brother Jay. Not for me to get on him and say, okay, hey, we don't do that. You know what? He needed to grow, didn't he? And so you love on him, pray for him, and look to Jesus. Amen. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Finley, if you'll dismiss us.